What was it? Oh, that's what it was. Susie Sunshine is here. Susie Schmidt, brought to you by DeVry University's Keller Graduate School of Management. She's counting our money. She is a senior vice president, portfolio manager at Westwood in Dallas.
Hi, Susan.
Hi there.
I like that song for you the best, by the way. I don't know.
I do. It's
feel.
Very upbeat. It's very cheery on a Friday.
Yes, it is. That's what we need. Speaking of cheery on a Friday, Janet Yellen, and you know that Janet Yellen and I have been dating for a number of years. Don't tell Dr. Yellen. And
you're influencing her wardrobe choices.
I am. I dress her every morning.
The pearls.
On the way out.
Sounds like a healthy relationship.
Yes.
Something's wrong here.
Yeah. Anyway, the point is that Janet Yellen wore her pearls today, and she spoke at this
Jackson Hole,
yeah. Wyoming conference.
Right.
I thought they're not. Didn't we talk about this a couple weeks ago? I thought they're not supposed to wear pearls in Jackson Hole because it's less formal, but
it's more of a cowboy kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, well, it's economists, so
they dress up.
They always. I don't know that they ever get too casual.
They dress like Grant Deporter.
What's casual in that world?
I just don't see them in
Chris shirt that's kind of slightly
with khakis,
one button open.
I mean, maybe jeans go crazy, but
that's those are either the like Sam Zell would wear jeans to something like that. There's only a few billionaires who wear jeans.
You can know how much money people have by how casually they're dressed.
Right.
So, exactly.
All right. So.
So big deal. Jackson Hole.
What did she say?
It happens every year. It started yesterday, ends tomorrow. All these economists gather. The topic this year is working on how to improve fiscal tools and monetary tools in managing economies. And that's what we're dealing with right now. So Janet Yellen spoke this morning, 10 a.m. our time, and she, no surprise, didn't really change the message from the last minutes of the Fed meeting. So the last Fed meeting that they had, we saw those minutes come out recently, and she really just repeated that rhetoric. They're ready to raise rates if they think the underlying economy is strong enough to do so. When they raise, it's going to be a gradual amount, 25 bips, so that's 0.25%. And that was very consistent.
And that's clear, right?
That's very consistent. Nothing's really clear with the Fed because they don't spell it out for you. They suggest in lots of words that are closely analyzed by Wall Street. So whether it becomes robust or modestly robust, someone in Wall Street will go through and redline the difference between what they said in the sentence today and what they said last week. It
so
gets
that's
that
true,
intense.
What they say when the Fed chair
so
speaks.
Everyone listens and they hyperanalyze it. So Jackson Hole is a nice event. We don't have a Fed meeting this month. It was a nice way to check in and see what she's thinking. And it's a way for her to communicate as to here's what we're thinking about the economy. Here's what we think we're going to do.
So explain this, because there's a board of governors of the Federal Reserve.
Right.
They vote on that, don't they?
They do. And when we get the Fed minutes, we see what the governor's different opinions are. So there's a big discussion.
So you can guess their vote.
And you can see there's a dot. We call it the dot chart. Each governor will come out and have, you know, what they think the interest rate should be and their forward projection, what they personally would do. Now, we don't know when we see this array of dots on a chart which dot relates to which governor, but you get an idea of where the committee is thinking in terms of interest rates going forward. But at the end of the day, Janet Yellen calls the shots. So it's really what she thinks. And we know that she is particularly dovish. So dovish means she's not inclined to raise interest rates. Hawkish means you are inclined to raise interest rates. So her policy approach has always been softer on interest rates. So we know she's been very dovish and she's very supportive. And we think that, you know, the message today was that will continue. And I think what's really interesting about what she said today was she started to open the door for future policy and discussions about other tools that the Fed could deploy for future policy. Nothing imminent, but she had a couple interesting comments. One of them that the Fed was able to handle most economic downturns under most conditions, not all conditions. And we're in a very unusual period right now. Mm-hmm. So I think as an academic, she is using her speech and her platform today to push towards looking towards some other policies to see what else we might use and put in the toolbox going forward.
Is there anything, I know there are so many factors that go into deciding whether or not they'll raise the rate but it's a September rate meeting, right? When they would announce
Right. So we didn't have a meeting in August. The next meeting is September 21st.
Would the election at all play any role in that decision? Would it be yes. wise to wait until after an election?
Well, good question, Anna. So the Fed has never raised rates in the meeting before prior to a national election. We've never seen that before. So if they did raise it, that would be highly unusual. And they have three meetings left this year. They have September, they don't meet in October, and then we have November, December. Hmm. So right now, the speculation is that we will get another rate hike, again, 25 bips, so a quarter of a percent, between now and year end. The market is thinking largely that it will probably be in December. It's partly because of the election, partly because of just timing and making sure the economy's back on track. And then, however, with her speech today, she's really got the market where she wants it. She's got the market guessing again. So there's a 1 in 3 chance. That's the going rate, what the market is saying after her speech today. 1 in 3 chance that she might raise in September. So
So if she raises in September, will she raise in December then too? I mean, is that
unlikely?
Highly
unlikely, because most of the governors have come out and said they'll do one rate increase this year. Remember that they raised the rates last December.
Now, what
does
this mean for us?
Yeah, how does
this affect you? If we have credit cards, what does it mean for us? Car loans, things like that.
So it's such a small increase on the rates. It's really not going to mean a lot. Unfortunately, it's not going to translate through to your savings account at a bank. You're probably not going to see a change in the interest rate that you get at your bank.
I love the fact that every month my bank gives me 11 cents.
I love it, too. It's the same thing. It's like, woo. And at the end of the year, it's like
$1.23.
It's so exciting.
It's like,
it's
what?
I cannot imagine.
Insulting.
It is insulting. It's like 11 cents. I'm like, keep your damn 11 cents. I mean, what is the point of this? You're screwing
just
up my...
Just pretend. You don't have interest, right?
Right. Well, they're showing you that, you know, when economic conditions change, that they're still capable of paying you interest, because that's, you know, the bank wants to keep your money and your deposits in place. So that's their business. They then loan that out to other people.
It makes me want to leave them when they do that to me. I'm insulted.
Well, I'm insulted by the candy.
They have great lollipops at my bank. They've got those little dum-dums, you know, the little... Great flavored ones.
Oh, no.
I like when the old ladies stand around. I go to a bank in the Gold Coast. Sometimes I just go in there to watch the old people stand around the coffee, because they have a coffee
oh
thing where you press a button.
There's an entire bank on the West Coast that its fame was because it served donuts. It got a tremendous amount of traction expanding. And truly, I think it's because they serve donuts. People went in. It was a great
retail bank
on the West Coast. But yes, so not unlike, didn't Saturn used to do that, where the Saturn cars at the dealerships? I think they kind of stole that idea. But yeah, coffee and donuts, bankers want to make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And remember that only old people are going to banks now.
So this is their money. I mean, that's the thing.
Millennials don't need to go to a bank. They can do everything online.
Right. Do you have a bank account, Violetta?
I do, yeah.
Violetta, when did you actually walk into a bank?
When did I walk? Back in college. I started a bank account in college.
There we go. That was the last time you were inside a bank
branch. Oh, no. I thought you meant the first time. No, I went to a bank last week.
Well, you got a business.
Okay.
You have a business, so you have to take cash to the bank, right?
I try to avoid taking cash to the bank, but yes.
Do you have people for that?
No, I just
do. You have a guy who actually looks like another kind of an animal that you've hired
in a disguise.
Is there people like, I always find that people look like horses that are carrying the cash back and forth.
That's like a thing. Mean.
Yeah, they got that look on their face, like, or a bear or something like that. Mm-hmm. That's the only people should have the cash.
I have noticed that the fraud alerts have gotten really, really crazy at my bank. Like, I get a fraud alert even by going to the ATM that I haven't gone to, but it's only two blocks away from the one I actually use, and I'm not allowed to withdraw. I mean, it's really gotten to a level I've never witnessed before.
You've seen it in the news. Their banks have been under more and more cyber attacks. So we've seen those attacks happening, and banks are on guard, and they're really fighting against cyber attacks, keeping your information safe, keeping your money safe. And so you're getting warnings like that because they're being vigilant, they're being proactive. Banks are in a tough spot right now. Janet Yellen coming out today talking about raising interest rates is a positive for banks, because it implies that if she can raise rates, the economy is actually okay. And rates going up a little bit is going to help banks a little bit, because then on the loans that they're doing, they can charge a little bit more. So it's good for the bank business itself.
Now, it is not traditional, though, to monkey around with interest rates the month before an election.
Well, again, that's never happened. So it would be highly unusual if they raised rates in September. But this is such a strange...
Why would they do that if they were to do it?
Well,
if they could wait till December to do it, why would they do it before the election?
Because some of the Fed members are concerned that we're waiting too long to raise rates. So it is good to have active policy, and it's good for the Fed to be independent of the market. So the Fed should be making these decisions, and in some ways it's a chicken or an egg. I think the Fed this year has gotten caught in the trap of waiting to see how the market reacts and then being backed into a decision one way or the other. They don't want to upset the stock market, where people have poured value into the stock market because they can't get returns anywhere else. And at the same time, the market shouldn't be determining what the Fed does as policy. So raising rates could happen because in September, so September 2nd, we're going to get the August jobs report. And if the August jobs report is really strong, that could give them a basis to raise rates. They could say the economy's going well enough that we can up rates a little bit.
All right.
But can we also ask you talk about this Uber situation, the fact that I always thought it was one of the best and highest rated technology companies and such a success story, a unicorn, as they say. And here we go with $1.2 billion in losses in the first half of the year.
Money.
What is going on there, Susan?
Well, all right. Remember that when we hear about these great technologies, they don't necessarily make money. And a lot of them don't make money for a long time. Uber is about scale. So they need a lot of drivers. They need to be doing this in a lot of places. They're getting a commission, a little piece of all that business that's happening. But to develop that infrastructure, develop all the network around that, that costs a lot of money. So Uber is still not profitable, but it is certainly pervasive through society, and it's getting more and more business. So when we talk about tech companies, it's very exciting to talk about them. Remember that Amazon really isn't profitable. For its size, it's not making the money that it should. Hmm. So Amazon took forever to turn profitable. And yet
we're still at a very modest level.
And yet we're still all out there going, this is great. You know, Facebook, no earnings when it started out. So a lot of these technologies and things that sweep through.
Look at what has happened to Twitter. I mean, Twitter as a business.
Great concept, mm-hmm. but no way to monetize it. Or until they get all of that penetration, they can't really generate enough cash flow. Once they get the penetration, then it's great. But there's a long way to go to get there.
Also, I think Uber, if I'm not mistaken here, they got a couple of other issues here. There's more and more competition. More and more companies are jumping into their space. And there's compliance issues. And I think that, to me, the scariest thing is the potential for litigation, right? I mean, they have... There are so many, because when they hire a driver that they met an hour, 15 minutes ago.
Right. This is fascinating.
This is a problem.
Personal experience. I was in an Uber last week going to an airport. And as I was approaching the airport, the front tire blew out. And so fortunately, I was close enough to the airport that I could just...
By the way, Uber appreciates the plug here. Go
ahead. Sorry, Uber. Independent contractor. It was his car where the tire blew out. And
that's what Uber says. We're just a technology company.
Very solicitous. Within 24 hours, someone from an insurance company on behalf of Uber had called me to get my relay of what happened sure that I was okay. That was super speedy response.
Did you say I'm okay?
I did.
Yeah, don't ever say that.
I know.
She said
your
back hurt.
I was fine.
But just
I got out of the car
that.
And walked the last 100 feet to get to the departures terminal. I was fine. I felt terrible leaving the driver behind because he's like, oh no. But yeah, he reported it to Uber, and I got a refund. They didn't charge me for my ride. That was nice.
Yeah, but also the drivers are suing to try to become employees. We've seen several suits like
right.
that, which is extremely costly.
There's a lot of litigation on that front, and it's not clear how they're going to manage that. Uber's cost structure, we just talked about the $1.2 billion that they lost. Their cost structure goes up if those drivers become employees. So Uber's profitability goes down mm-hmm. when that happens. And so, again, we're already talking about Uber not really being profitable. If the drivers become employees, they're definitely not becoming profitable anytime soon because their overhead costs just went up significantly.
All right. Susan Schmidt, she is our Susie Sunshine on this program to let us know that everything is going to be fine. Since she's been here, the market has done nothing but been in record territory. Didn't the market close?
Oh, you mean, oh, since her, she's been part of the show.
Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. That's true.
I'm not sure that's a direct correlation, but, I appreciate the reference.
No, we're going to go with that. All right. coming up on the program, Stone Pony's going to join us. Alex Stone from LA. Apparently your iPhone needs to get updated like pronto because there's a big problem here. We'll explain what that is. But first, Violetta Powder Medic, WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.